So, the topic of what I'm going to share about today is Jesus being our model for ministry. So, what does that look like? Gary did a good job kind of who Jesus was. So, now I'm going to talk about kind of what he did a little bit. So there are three main topics here. So, there's three main points that I want to hit for Jesus being our model for ministry. Number one, Jesus empowers supernatural ministry. Jesus empowers supernatural ministry. This is number one. Number two, what does it look like? What does it look like? And three, I want you to hear what I'm not saying. So I am not saying this. That's going to be your third point. You'll understand when we get there. I'm not saying this. Actually, not everybody got it. Just the small group leaders got it. Yeah, that's all right. But if you guys want a copy of my notes, I will give it to you at the end. You just got to come up and you just got to remind me, okay? I didn't really think that far ahead. So number one, Jesus empowers supernatural ministry. So what does that mean? Mark 16. 15 through 18. Mark 16, 15 to 18. Whoa. Yes, that is it, but that's a lot of it. Okay, so he said, go into the world and preach the good news to all of creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and then they will drink deadly poison, and they will not be hurt. They will place their hands on sick people, and they shall be made well, I believe. Oh, yeah, and they shall be made well. The next one. So this is saying, so this is what we can do, right? This is pretty supernatural here. He's saying, I mean, I don't want to do it, but it says I can pick up a snake, be a snake wrangler, I'll wave it around, no. But we can lay hands on the sick and they will be made whole. Awesome. Moving on. John 14, 12 through 14. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. This is what Jesus has been doing. All the things Jesus has been doing. Whoever believes in him will be doing those things. He will be doing greater things than these because I am going to the Father, just as Gary alluded to. He sent the Holy Spirit to empower us. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. And you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Anything. Through that Holy Spirit. Moving on. Acts 2, 17 through 18. Now I'm just going to hit some of these scriptures so you know they're there. Some of them I'll build on a little more, but others, you know, others are just really awesome and self-explanatory. So I don't want you to think I'm belittling any scripture, which I don't think you will. But Acts 2. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad I'm young and old. Because this is a promise to us. This is a promise to us. And if I believe the Bible to be true, this is mine. This is a part of my inheritance. I receive that. That's awesome. God wants Jesus led a supernatural ministry. The signs, wonders, and miracles followed Jesus because he was the source of it. You know, Jesus promised signs and wonders to believers. And that they would do even greater works. That is supernatural. Moving on to Matthew 4, 23. Acts 10, 38. And here we're going to read that, you know, we believe all people can be healed because Jesus demonstrated the Father's will of healing all the sick and demonized. All the sick. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, which we have. We're all under the understanding we have the Holy Spirit. And how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. If you flash back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they're walking around just a magnificent garden, which is such a pure picture of being in God's presence. Then the enemy stepped in. So God gave Adam and Eve dominion over all the earth. So when Adam and Eve sinned, what they did is they took that key that God gave them over the entire earth. Adam and Eve took that key and gave it back to Satan. He said, here you go, Satan. Here's your key. Because they fell into that temptation. So what does that mean for us? Well, obviously, you look around, there's a lot of terrible things going on in the world. You have Ebola, you have cancer, you have AIDS, you have poverty, you have all these terrible, terrible, terrible things, which are not a device of God. All the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What is that? That's your whole person. That's mind, body, soul, spirit, whatever you want. The devil comes to take that away. The devil wants to cause you a limp. A limp, I can assure you, is not from God. So, us being the supernatural, seeking after Jesus because he was our model, we can step in and we can just release heaven on that limp. And God will show up. He will heal an ear just like that. The deaf, the blind will see. I've seen cataract leave literally milkiness in eyes. I've prayed for cataracts. And I've seen just the white film leave an eye. That's incredible. But that cataract was not from God. That was a device of the enemy to slow that person down, to kind of get them off the path that God had set before them. You with me? You with me? So going back to that scripture, Lisa. Acts 10, was it 10:38? So just picture, this is a promise. This is to you because of your inheritance. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and power, and how God went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We have God within us. We have God is giving that supernatural lifestyle, that ability in us. Moving on. John 20, 21. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. That's pretty encouraging. Jesus is talking to his disciples here, and he's saying, God sent me. Now I'm sending you. That's all of us. God's sending us out. He's sending us to the gates of hell. Because we, being just lavished with the Father's love, we owe this world an encounter with Jesus. We owe it to him. And the only reason we really owe it to him is because God loves us. He doesn't love me any less, or he doesn't love me any more than he loves a heroin addict in a basement on David Street. I don't even know if David Street's a bad part of town. It is? Okay. Must have been a word of knowledge. I don't know. But he loves us the same. Wrap your mind around that. But, oh, God, I'm so awesome. I do these great things. I get up at MCC. I stand on chairs. I shout your name. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how good I am, how bad they are. God loves us the same. We owe the world an encounter with the living God, with Jesus. Come on. Yes. Moving on, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, and then we're going to hit Psalms 103 as well. So 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11, and Psalms 103. So we're still in this theme of Jesus is empowering us to do supernatural ministry because Jesus is our model. Jesus was that supernatural. 1 Corinthians, so do not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor male prostitutes or homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the slanderers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. I don't want to be those. And that is some of who you were. We were those things. We all came from a place of darkness to enter into the light. We have the light within us. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whoa. Whoa. Holding on to some good things here. But you were sanctified. You were made pure. Nothing is impossible. So no person or situation is beyond the ability of God. I'll say fix, but you know what I mean, right? No person is so far off that they can't be saved. Nobody. We'll do a little exercise here because I think Holy Spirit's prompting me here. I want you to think of the person in your mind that you think is just so far off that you think they're almost unlovable to you. But we know God is bigger. God is the God of the impossible situation. I want you to think of that person. If you have that person, just give me a wave. I won't ask you for names or anything. I just want you to. All right. Father God, right now we just declare, God, your impossible loving love to show up to that person right now. God, I pray right now, God, you're sending people and things into their life right now, God. They're going to know they're loved by the Almighty, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Jesus, you love them. God, I pray right now, strongholds are broken off. God, I pray right now, you're just taking an eraser. You're just erasing addictions. God, you're just erasing bad trains of thought. God, and you're inserting something new. Something new. We thank you for that, God. God, we pray right now there's just breakthrough. God, and even this week, God, even this week there's going to be testimonies, God, just of revelation of your love. God, you're so good. We thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Moving on to Psalms 103. You guys good? Wow. Oh, that is the entire Psalms, isn't it? Wow. Actually, Lisa, that was my fault. I apologize. You think we can kind of like just scroll down through it? Okay, because I want to read the whole Psalm. Psalm 103, verse 1. If you didn't know, it starts in verse 1. Is that it? No. I know it ends the same. All right, praise the Lord, O my soul, O my innermost being. Praise his holy name. Yes. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives your sins, heals your disease. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desire with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Come on. He made known the ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Thank you for that, Jesus. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. There's a promise, a light at the end of the tunnel. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our inequities. Thank you for that. For as high as the heavens are above and the earth, so great is the love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. I believe it's a healthy fear. For he knows how we're formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of the field. The wind blows over it and is gone. Its place remembers it no more. But for everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, that inheritance. With those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. God's kingdom trumps everything. Praise the Lord, you, his angels, mighty ones, who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you, his servants, who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Doesn't matter where you've been. God, his love is so supernatural, can overcome it. Thank you for that, Jesus. Moving on to James 2, 14 to 18. You know, sometimes faith, sometimes I'm sure Jesus had to do some things that he was not comfortable with, even stretching, perhaps. You know, we had, I have the honor and the privilege of leading a team to Mexico here. We leave Saturday and we're going to be gone for a week. And, you know, so like I told him in our meeting this morning, I said, you know, if you guys aren't stretched, if you guys aren't growing, being stretched, then I'm doing a disservice to you as your team leader. If you're not stretching, you're not growing. I don't remember when I shared the testimony, or I guess the little revelation I had from God. Who here was at Marked Ones? Okay, I think I shared it then, but for those of you who were there, I apologize. You have to hear this again. But it was in the middle of the night one night. I wasn't doing anything abnormal. I was just being me. And for those of you who don't know, my vocation in the summer is I'm a golf caddy. And, you know, so I get, you know, at times I would get really cramped up because I wouldn't stretch and so on and so forth. So God woke me up in the middle of the night. It was about 2:30. And by this time, I had my wife in bed and also my 2-year-old son. So I'm doing anything I can not to wake him up. And so God told me that if you want to be stretched, you need to stretch. If you want to grow, you need to stretch. Okay, God, so what does that mean? You know, I need to push beyond where my faith has brought me to and press in for more. Because God's kingdom is never ending. I got to keep going. I got to keep going. So it's 2:30 in the morning. Like, I do everything I can. I'm just on the edge of the bed. I literally just kind of... I just kind of roll off, and I'm in the floor, and like, I just 2:30 in the morning, I literally start stretching. You know, you have to be uncomfortable, in my opinion. If you're not uncomfortable, you're not, I don't want to say you're not growing, but you know what I mean? Okay, wonderful. So faith requires us to go a step beyond fear and take risks and while humbly honoring our environment. So we have to honor our environment in which we're in. James 2:14. And what do I mean by that? Well, James 2:14 says,
What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, not accompanied by action, is dead. So, but some of you say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." That's just good. You know, we're saved by grace alone, period. Doesn't matter what we do, we're never good enough. We're saved by grace alone. But how we demonstrate our faith to this world that we already owe an encounter to, we have to step out in faith and do some of these things. So later, as I talk about words of knowledge, these are just some of these successes that I've seen and I've been able to be a part of, and I've just seen people touch and transformed by God. So you need to honor them in their environment. And now, I've not always done that, but I've done it out of a good, pure heart, I believe, you know. But I can seem to, but I can make people uncomfortable sometimes, because every part of my being, I want to see people physically and emotionally totally 100% healed. So when I see an opening, I jump after it. And I was a part of a small group. This is maybe 3 years ago or so. I don't know. Regardless, so we were in this small group, and it was one of those small groups where you can reach out and invite people who are not saved, and they want to demonstrate, you know, just build a relationship with people. And I know at least two of you were here for that, but there was this. I think there were three or four people there that weren't saved. This is a group of maybe 20. And this was their first time there. And and I got a word for scoliosis. And I don't remember all the details, but, I mean, that was the crux of it. And, you know, like, she just kind of was bewildered. She was like, "I got scoliosis," and I'm sitting down. So like, she's sitting in the couch on the other side of the room, and I'm sitting in the love seat on the other side of the room. And when she raised her hand and said, "I have scoliosis," you know, she has no background in church, not saved, doesn't know Jesus, and like, I hop up out of my seat and like, I run across the room and like, I'm standing right on top of her. And I say, "Stan, I want to pray for you." What? So, but, you know, you don't want to make people feel uncomfortable either. If you're making people feel uncomfortable, they're going to be more concerned with the flowers on the carpet than what God is doing in their life right then. You follow me? Yeah? So we want to be honoring to the people. We want to understand the environment that we're in. All right? All right, so that was all of that was point number one. Point number two, what does this look like? So we've established that Jesus is a supernatural God. His ministry was supernatural, and we want to model ourselves to be like Jesus. Mark 16, 17, and 18. We'll go back there again. Or Mark 16, 17, and 18. Is that what I said? Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. It'd be a good time to take a drink here. I give you guys permission to just drink all night, you know? Just take in what you're receiving. And I want to preface all of this by saying, I don't have this down. Believe me, everything I do is a work in progress. This school is a work in progress. My life is a work in progress. But with the end goal being the same, Okay? So when I talk about these things, this is, you know, this is just some of the things that God has revealed. And, you know, so you don't think that I've got it all together. I can assure you I do not. You can ask my wife. She will tell you, or you can ask my father-in-law, because I'm sure he hears about it. All right, Mark 60. Yeah. It's that bond between father and daughter. Apparently, I'll understand here shortly. But all right. 16 and 17 says, these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They'll drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. They'll drink deadly poison. They will not be harmed. They will place their hands on the sick and the people. They will get well. Why do I say that? Well, the cross didn't make natural people good. So when Jesus died, that didn't make people good naturally. Okay? It made a whole new race of people on the planet who were powered to live supernaturally. Does that make sense? Let me read it again. The cross of Jesus didn't make people naturally good. So when he died, people just didn't become good. But when he died, what that did, that empowered us who accepted Christ, that empowered us to live supernaturally. Okay? You know, obviously, you're familiar with the Bible. There's an Old Testament and a New Testament. Old Testament is great. There's a lot of wonderful stuff in it. New Testament, there's a lot of wonderful stuff in it. But the Old Testament is an inferior testimony of what Christ has done. Meaning, all the Old Testament, please don't crucify me. What is all the Old Testament, all the law, all the prophetic, all that stuff is just leading up. It's just all of it is leading up to Jesus. So the Old Testament, I've heard it said before, the Old Testament is Jesus concealed. The New Testament is Jesus revealed. So all that old stuff just building up, building up, building up. Jesus dies so we can walk in the supernatural. We still have all that Old Testament stuff. The New Testament stuff wouldn't be possible without the Old Testament stuff. It's that foundation. That Old Testament is the foundation. It's the crux. It's the foretelling of what is to come. It's important to understand that even us and even me, I'll just speak for myself. When I'm doing scripture, when I'm studying, I'm very mindful about not just reading the New Testament, because I need to be rooted in the Old Testament and the promises. You know, the Old Testament, you have the Ten Commandments. In the New Testament, you have basically the two greatest commandments, right? But all those two are wrapped up in the ten. You can't have the two if you don't have the ten. Cool? All right. So I didn't make anybody want to jump off the ship, did I? Okay. If you did, forgive me. Because that is not my heart. That's not my desire. Matthew 5:44. You know, God has really just been speaking to me the last few years about, you know, his love. And, you know, God just does everything he does because of love. It's that simple. And Matthew 5:44 says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Ouch. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. John 13:33-35. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me just as I told the Jews, so I will tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So this is saying right here, if you want people to know that you follow Christ, you're going to love people. You're going to sow into them love. And believe me, there are people that just get under your skin. I know that. And you don't understand. You don't understand some of the reasons that people do the things they do. I don't understand the reasons I do some of the things that I do. But, you know, God has called us to love them. Love them, love them, love them. Let God take care of the rest. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not, you know what? You guys are good with 1 Corinthians 13, right? Okay, love. Love is awesome. It's patient and it's kind. Doesn't boast, doesn't envy, all that fun stuff. I think it's a clanging cymbal too. We'll go to it. 1 Corinthians 16, 14. Yeah, clanging cymbal. God tells us to do everything in love. Do everything in love. Loving people is supernatural. Even when they don't deserve it, people will know that it's supernatural if you're loving them. And we always operate from love when we take risks to release heaven into the atmosphere or to the environment. So when we step out and we take risks, and we want to see God show up. We want to see heaven come to earth. We need to be doing it out of love. Now, was me attacking that girl because I want to see scoliosis healed? Was that out of love? I would say I was probably more eager just to see God heal her. I wasn't doing it because I loved her. I was doing it because I wanted to see God show up. You know, so God is just continuing to transform my mind. You know, the Bible tells us that we have the mind of Christ, you know. So we'll get into that as well. But, you know, just always transforming and always making me grow, which I'm very thankful for. Hopefully I never think I have it all together. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Now, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's a great question. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it out on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. As we walk as sons and daughters of God, being salt and light, revealing, you know, the Father's goodness and calling people for repentance. You know, we're that light put on a lamp, light stand, on a stand. That's us. John 20, 22. I like this one. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Romans 2, 4. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance? That salt getting its saltiness back. Calling people just because we love them out of the goodness of God's being, leading people to repentance. Such an incredible, incredible concept. Acts 1:8. you know, because I do what I do, and, you know, just the way God hardwired me, you know, I love Acts 1:8. I love the book of Acts. I love the book of Ephesians. Ephesians just has some great conceptual ideas in there. It's just awesome. If you need to read one book in the Bible in the New Testament, I'll tell you to go after Ephesians. It's good. But Acts 1:8 says, when you receive power, or you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. After the Holy Spirit comes, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts 4:31-35. And what the Holy Spirit does, gives every believer the power. It gives them the power to be a bold witness, releasing God's supernatural power and miracles, signs, and wonders to everybody. After they prayed, they were in a place where they were, in the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke out the word of God boldly. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It says, with great power. The Holy Spirit came. They had great power. The apostles continued to testify of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And much grace was upon them all. You hold it right there. I would argue when it says great power, would they have that great power if they didn't testify to the resurrection of Jesus? I don't know. I never want to find out. Use it or lose it, he says. Man, that's just good. And then because of that, grace was upon them. All right. There was no needy person among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to everyone who had need. Man, sell your house. Give me your profit. No, I'm kidding. But yes, Holy Spirit gives us the power to be a bold witness of the things that Christ has done. Everything Christ has done, he's given us the power, the authority. He's given us the keys back. When the Holy Spirit came, he gave us those keys. He gave us those keys to take back dominion of this earth. We owe it to the world that they encounter Jesus. Matthew 4:4. Once again, sorry to hit you with all these scriptures, but I just really think, I think it's important to see it and hear it. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need to be listening. We need to be listening to what God's saying. We need to be reading what God's saying and listening to what God's saying. What he said, what he's saying, and what he's going to say. We need to be open. We not need to close our spirit off. We not get in so enclosed in our mind and put God in a box. To not be open to these other things. You know, this whole current move of God that's going on now is, you know, it's just awesome. But God's doing it in a way that he hasn't done it in previous generations. Now, does that make it not God? No. But God just doing it in a different and a new way. I want to be a part of that. You know, if you look in the Bible, you look at Abraham, when he was sacrificing Isaac. Thank you. He's sacrificing Isaac. God told Abraham to sacrifice his son. He told him to do something specific. He went up that hillside. He was going to do it. If he wasn't listening to what God was saying, because God told him something to begin with, God said, go do this. Go sacrifice Isaac. If he wasn't listening in the moment, Isaac wouldn't be with us. I'm going to say this. I don't know another word, so I'm going to say it like this, but it's not really what I mean, but it's kind of what I mean. God contradicted himself when he told Isaac, or when he told Abraham not to kill Isaac. So God told him to kill Isaac. He was going to do it. If he wasn't obedient and listening to God, Isaac wouldn't be here. But he was listening, and God said, whoa, 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 whoa. Abraham, you're Isaac. Abraham, you're awesome. But Isaac needs to live. And he provided this sacrifice instead of Isaac. Can you imagine that? That's pretty incredible. You need to be hearing what God's saying. If you guys have ever done any kind of study on, you know, revivalists or just awesome people of God that got to see incredible things happen in their life, and any of you familiar with Smith Wigglesworth? Yeah, okay. Smith Wigglesworth, he's just a radical guy. He just loved Jesus. And you know, he was around during the Depression, and I think he died in, I think, like the late 40s, I think. And but just some of the things that Smith Wigglesworth would do is mind-blowing. Just mind-blowing. So he would have a service, and there's one story where a kid in a wheelchair came up on stage. God told Smith Wigglesworth to drop or to kick this kid. He's paralyzed. He kicked him off the stage. Kicked a paralyzed kid off the stage. The kid got right up and ran. That's incredible. Yeah, you better be knowing you're hearing from God. You know, there's also another story. There was a 2-year-old kid dead. We'll just say it was a baby. I don't know the age, but the baby was dead. They brought it to Smith Wigglesworth. You know, you're already broken that your kid is dead. Your baby's dead. They had enough faith. Bring him to Smith Wigglesworth. You know what Smith Wigglesworth does? Takes the baby, drop kicks the kid. Drop kicked a dead baby in front of his parents. Baby was resurrected. That's incredible. No doubt. That's crazy. You better know you're hearing from God. Just as Abraham, he better be hearing from God. If you're going to go and sacrifice your kid, you be actively listening to God. Even Abraham was demonstrating that to us back then, that we need to be actively listening. That, to me, that's mind-blowing. John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Yeah. We listen to Jesus. We listen to the Holy Spirit. And we follow what he's doing. You know, Spirit-led life, Holy Spirit, being in God's presence. As we release heaven into earth. That was a mandate in the Bible. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Bringing heaven to earth by listening to God. John 4:16-19. Is that what it said? Yeah. You know, this is kind of talking about going to the gates of hell. You know, I want to say it was Steve Witt. Basically said the church needed to go to hell. Yeah. Good. So we need to bring the church. We need to take the church. We need to take our respective churches, our ministries, our groups. We need to be the forefront. We need to be the leaders. We need to be the catalyst in their lives to take them to the gates of hell. Take them to the drug houses. Take them to the bars. Take them to the prisons. Take them to the streets. Bring heaven to them. Wherever you go, heaven goes. You have the Spirit of God in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Being mindful of the presence, as we talked about some time ago. But in this, in these three verses here, it says, he told her, go call your husband and come back. She replied, I have no husband. Do you think Jesus didn't know that? Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. In fact, you have five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. But what you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Nothing she did made Jesus shy away. In fact, when I read that, I feel like Jesus was just pressing in. He's like, he's just kind of baiting her, almost. Yeah, I know you don't have a husband. You have five. What? Or you've had five. And you're living with somebody now who is not your husband. Imagine your mind being blown. Immediately she says, I can see that you're a prophet. I'd find it hard to believe that she wouldn't come to Christ right then. He's there. But I mean, you know, realize that he is the way, the truth, and the life. You see what I'm getting at? James 5:16. When we pray, we invade impossible situations, releasing heaven's power as we continue to cry out for more. So the intercession, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. To see a healing, pray for a healing. That's what this says, right? The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. Powerful and effective. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Invading the impossible situation. How do we invade impossible situations? Through our model, Christ Jesus. It says to pray continually. Now, how does that look in your life? You know, that's not for me to, you know, that's not for me to say, but I can tell you, for me, praying continually means I need to be always aware, or in my mind, force my mind, if you will, to be cognizant of what God's doing. Being aware of the Spirit of God. God, speak to me now. I want to hear you now. Right elbow is being healed right now. If that's you, who's that? Well, take a left elbow. Take a left elbow. Boom. Elbows being healed right now. Wow. Words of knowledge. God, pray continually. Be in his presence. He'll reveal these things to you. He'll tell you, no, she doesn't have a husband. She's had five and she's living with somebody else. Wow. Wow. James 1:17. This is celebrating every victory and stewarding the testimony of Jesus. All right? So we celebrate every victory and steward the testimony. Vitally important. Crucial. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Coming down, even the spiritual gifts, okay? Even the spiritual gifts. Coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Shifting shadows. Shifting shadows. Shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, the Father. Thank you. You go on to Revelation 19:10. Says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So all these good things that God gives us, we need to celebrate those things. These victories, these healings, right elbows, left elbows being healed. We need to celebrate what God's doing. I've seen God heal. I've seen God. Is anybody missing a bone in an elbow? Okay, well, actually, like, I've seen people healed just by sharing a testimony of a healing I've seen. Meaning, I was praying for a lady in Mexico two years ago, and, you know, I had my translator. I really didn't understand what she was saying, but so my translator had to tell me, and she just, I think we were praying for, like, she had swelling in her elbows and in her arms, and we were just praying. And you know, and then she just starts grabbing her arm, like grimacing in pain. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is not good. It's getting worse." And then she just starts rambling some Spanish stuff. And I turned to my translator. I said, "Please help me out here." And she says, "It hurts! It hurts! It hurts! Someone's pinching me! Someone's pinching me!" As she had a hold of her elbow, she finally took her hand off of it. The swelling was down. And then you could see, then she starts just freaking out. She goes, "You see this bone? This bone wasn't here before. This bone wasn't here before. God put my bone back in my elbow." And she's just like, you know, she's just running around, just, you know, I'm just full of joy. You know, that gift is from God. I mean, that's awesome. That was point two. So point one, Jesus empowers a supernatural ministry. Number two, what does it look like? Did I pretty much establish what it should look like for us, right? Okay. So with all that being said, I want you to understand this and understand it well. These are things that I am not saying, okay? I don't want you to be confused. I'm not saying 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. What I'm not saying is I'm not saying we are Jesus. I'm not saying that. 1 Corinthians 6 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own." We are not Jesus, but we have that power and that authority in us through the Holy Spirit. Okay? Luke 10:17-20. "I am also not saying that we pursue a relationship with God just so he can perform signs and wonders. The 72 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.' He replied, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you.'" To overcome all the power of the enemy. Everything does not match up with God's expectations or God's provision he had in the garden is from the enemy. He's given us power to overcome everything of the enemy, okay? Nothing will harm you. So I'm not saying we pursue this relationship with God just so we see these signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, we need to do it out of the love. Matthew 18, 1 through 5. I'm not saying people are trophies and miracles make us more important in the kingdom. So anything I do, anything I get to see, does not make me more important than anybody else. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Who is the greatest? He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like the little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." These people wanted to know who the best was, who was the most powerful. God said, you need to change. You need to become like the little children. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like the child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And with that comes that childlike faith. Believe for the impossible situations. Believe for the prodigals to come back. Believe for bones to grow back. Believe for people to be healed of Down syndrome. Believe for cancer to flee, tumors to fall off. Because we have that radical faith. Proverbs 21:21. I'm not saying we prefer to demonstrate miracles over loving people and serving people. I'm not saying that. It says, he who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. That's what we need to pursue, righteousness and love. That's our reward. It's conditional. If this is what we're pursuing, if that's what we're pursuing, this is what we're getting. Galatians 3, 2 through 7. I'm not saying people have to pray and fast or perform or earn the grace needed to operate in signs and wonders. It's a free gift. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit? Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or believing what you heard? It's a great question. Are you foolish, he says. After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing if it was really for nothing? Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law? Or because you believe what you've heard? That's a great question. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and he was credited, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Just got to believe. Believe. Acts 16, 16 through 24. What I'm not saying is every risk we take when ministering will result in an expected outcome. It's not what I'm saying. So I'm not saying every risk we take while ministering will result in our expected outcome. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money by her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." It's pretty interesting. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled, he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar." by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. Yay. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into the prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. I'm sure they didn't expect that. By casting out a demon. And this girl was seemingly going around telling people what they're doing is from the Most High. But they recognized that and they said, you know, demon leave. Oh, man. Just turn their world upside down. I'm sure they didn't expect it. So when we pray for people, and sometimes we don't see it. We don't see it manifested immediately. I don't understand it. I wish I did, but I don't. I will one day. I continue to get revelation about it, but, you know, it's amazing. 1 Corinthians 14, 1, and then we'll go to 39. I'm not saying, now this is important. This is important. I'm not saying miracles stopped with the apostles and Jesus. The stuff didn't stop with them. 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So who wrote the letter to the Corinthians? Paul. Was Paul a disciple? He was not. He was not. Verse 39. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. This stuff happened. The prophetic, the speaking in tongues, it all happened. But it didn't stop with the apostles. It didn't stop with the disciples. It didn't stop with Jesus. 1 Peter 4, 7 and 10. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. What? I don't even see. Oh, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in his various forms. Is that 39? No, that's 4. Is that 7 or is that 10? That's 10. Each one of us, whatever gift he has received. So God's given us a gift. We need to serve others according to that gift. The gifts are free. God's grace in its various forms will provide these opportunities, these supernatural Holy Spirit times. It didn't stop with Jesus. It didn't stop with the apostles. Last scripture here. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25. I am not saying we won't have resistance to the gospel and experience persecution. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. It's like 39. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent the night and a day in the open sea. There are going to be times where we feel persecuted, where we don't want to press in. We don't want to pray for that family member in fear of what they might think because our radical faith believes God can heal them. That's the biggest thing that I deal with is, you know, like, my family, like, they want to hear my stories, and which I want to share them. But, you know, it takes an extra measure of faith to step out and pray for a family member. You know? That's a type of persecution. You have all this stuff, ISIS, all this stuff going on. You know? It's persecution. Persecution. All right. So we got those 3 things wrapped up. Everybody with me? Okay. So, I went way longer than I thought. I apologize. You guys get value out of that? Yeah, okay. Well, what I'm going to do now is I really want you to know about the words of knowledge. And did everybody get a sheet? Does nobody not have a sheet? Does David? David's an egg. And Jose? David, could you help me out here, sir? This is Dave. Dave is going on the mission trip as well. Yeah. All right. So this is just a list that has kind of been gathered. You know, there's nothing that I've noticed or experienced to disprove this. But this is kind of how I've seen God kind of show up and just touch people. So I just want to release this to you guys. And then I want to do a little impartation to you guys. So you guys can see some of the victories that I've seen and just, you know, just experience God's supernatural love and just to a higher level, okay? And at the end here, I'll have the team leaders come up since we're not going to have time for small groups, and we'll just lay hands on people and just pray and impart that stuff, okay? All right. Number one is an impression. What's an impression? It's just something you know. It's just something you know. You walk up to somebody and just something inside of you just knows that they have a heart arrhythmia issue. Nothing else, you just know it. That's an impression. Number two is a picture. This is one of the more common ways that God shows me, but you literally see a picture. So let's say somebody has a kidney issue, and God's going to show me a picture about a kidney issue. He might show me a kidney bean. I mean, I don't understand. You know, we had a... speaking of picture, I had to. So I was in this big meeting with the Bethel team. I went to Mexico City two years ago, and we're in this. You know, there's 2,000 people in this place, maybe 2,500, and there's just huge tent upon tent upon tent upon tent. So you know, like I love giving out words of knowledge, but you know. So, like, you get to a point where you just want to press in and you want to be really specific. Because if 2,500 people here and you say right knee, good night, it could be 200 people. You know, they could stand up. So, how many of you know Josh Stevens or have met him or heard him one time? Anyway, he was the team leader there, and he turns around and goes, Josh, I dare you to be wrong. And giving out a word of knowledge. I dare you to be wrong. So going back to this picture, God gives you a picture in your mind. God replayed a whole scenario in my mind. There was a lady, she was working in her house, she tripped over a piece of furniture, and she hit her head. And it was either a sprained wrist or a sprained ankle. And if that wasn't enough, I said, and by the way, your name is Rosa. Boy, this lady, she could not get out of her seat and up front to share her testimony quick enough. And I was kind of shocked. It's like, wow, that is awesome. But the Bible tells us we have the mind of Christ. So I'm just trying to make something up almost. And then God just shows me this picture or this whole scenario played out. So, I mean, like, I was still in. I mean, I still wasn't believing it. And she comes up, so I take my phone out and I record it. So like she says it all in Spanish, and then the translator comes back on and she basically says verbatim what happened. I was like, I have this on tape. Like, this is incredible. Number three is hearing. This is just simply God speaking to you. You audibly hear something. You audibly hear, like, maybe the word depression. Or you hear right forearm. No, just you audibly hear it. Number four, a coincidence. So you keep saying, you keep seeing the same thing. So I know, I think it's Pastor Ron who's on staff here. You know, he sees the number one a lot. So when he sees all these number ones, you know, sees 11:11 with 11 seconds, you know, God is trying to tell him something. So all these coincidences, these just happenstance events, you know, God is trying to say something to you. He's trying to press in and see, you know, okay, this is what I'm trying to say to you. Or you say, you know, just, does that make sense? That happens to me probably the least. So, okay. Well, let me explain. Okay. Let's say, for instance, you're walking in the mall, and you pass somebody that has a cane, and they're limping, okay? Let's say 2 more minutes goes by. You see somebody else walking by with a cane. These people aren't in a wheelchair or anything. They're on a cane. They're using it on the right side. Same side. Don't think anything about it. You say, okay. A couple minutes later, you see somebody else with a cane. Like, okay, God, what are you trying to say to me here? Yeah, that's right. You know? So, to me, in my experience, God is trying to give you a certain authority over that issue. And you're going to step in and you're going to just command it. God's given you that authority to command that issue to be healed and just release heaven into it. Yeah.
That's an area that I really wanted more in.
Yeah.
And that heard me.
Yeah.
I'm like a detective.
Yeah.
I think a lot of
yeah.
It comes from a hunger.
Absolutely.
And to listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
There's no
nope. Oh, is that where that saying comes from? Because I don't think there's any such thing as a coincidence. But we have about 10 minutes, and I want to get through these next five, okay? The next one is testimony. Just like I said before, you share a testimony about a healing. You celebrate in what God's done. You tell people about it, and people just get healed. So if you we had a test or let's say, let me think of something. God prompted me. Holy Spirit prompted. Okay. We'll share a testimony with you, and we'll see how this works. I was praying for a guy before. He had chest issues. He was just, you know, just really, really beaten up. I really didn't quite understand what he was saying. And he was just, you know, he was broken down. He just had this chest issue. And I was just praying, you know, that God would just kind of speak peace into his life. And, you know, turns out that God, so like he left the service and came back, you know, like he was in tears, almost went out in the spirit. And, you know, like he knew God was doing something, but leaves, comes back into another service, which is like 6 hours later. And he says, Josh, God healed me. He had heart arrhythmia every 43 minutes, apparently. He said every 43 minutes, as long as he can remember, his heart would literally stop. And it would like skip a beat and do some weird stuff. But every 43 minutes, he could mark it on his watch, it happened. He said, from the time I prayed the rest of that day, it had not happened. So with that being said, so I share a testimony like that. And I'll say, okay, if God prompts me to share that testimony, God, I'm saying right now, God wants to heal heart arrhythmia or heartbeat issues. Okay? Anybody have heartbeat issues? Heart arrhythmia? One, two, three. Father God, right now we just release healing on them. Father God, may your glory just fall down on them. Holy Spirit, we just say, fire. Your glory, heaven, we just invite you right now, Holy Spirit, just to show up and touch them. Father God, we just speak life into them, into their hearts. God, we just say, you are the God that calms the seas. God, you can steady a heart. God, you made it. You created it. God, you can heal it. We thank you for that, God. In Jesus' name. That is a word of knowledge by a testimony. I don't know why it happens. It just does. Number six, a body part is highlighted. Now, this can happen two ways. Somebody can literally, or some people literally see a part highlighted on somebody's body. So, like, if I'm looking at James here, everything might be black and white, and maybe his nose will be highlighted. Okay? So it works like that. Or you're just kind of, you keep being drawn as you're talking, you keep being drawn to a certain body part. So, like, you're just having a conversation. For some reason, you just keep looking at their left ear. And then you realize, it's kind of weird. You're like, why can't I look at them? But I keep looking at their left ear. God's highlighting that. Okay? Number seven is observation. This is real easy. You see somebody with a cane or a wheelchair or a limp. It's a word of knowledge. The observation. Number eight, I get this probably 90% of the time, which I'm pretty thankful for. But I feel it. I literally feel the words of knowledge in my body. So when I gave out the word for the elbow, I felt a pain in my elbow. It's like I felt somebody like knocking or touching my elbow. I felt some kind of compression touch on my elbow. I'm very fortunate that I get words of knowledge like that, because to me, I think that's just so much easier. You know, because, you know, if you're thinking picture, okay, well, you know, I have a very vivid imagination. So, you know, but this way, I know God's telling me. I know God's telling me. How many of you get words of knowledge by feeling them? Okay. There's just going to be an increase in that after tonight. An increase in all of these. And number nine is a reverse word of knowledge. So the word of knowledge is a reverse word of knowledge. This is one of the pretty easy ones too. They simply just tell you about their pain. They just simply tell you what's going on. So you don't have to ask any questions. They just come up and they volunteer the information. He's like, man, this arthritis is just killing me. God has your solution. Right here. Yes.
With that, when they tell you, does God sometimes reveal something else?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they want you to pay for the disease that you feel. I love that person to pay for the back.
Yeah, yeah. So that kind of, you know, so what I've done in my experience, did everybody hear that question? Can you repeat it a little louder?
Or here. Somebody comes and tells you specifically, like, well, I need prayer for my knee or my elbow, and God tells you to pray for the back.
So what I do in those situations, and I love doing it in the healing rooms here. I love it because they come to you for something specific, and God prompts you for something else. And, you know, so that just kind of...